Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And somehow we're going to talk about everything from Olympic hockey to...
I don't even know.
To crazy statements by counselors in Vancouver?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do because this is...
Unspun.
Go. We have so much to talk about today. I was like, the Prime Minister on a travel,
We actually spent more time on Prime than we usually do.
We did. That's what confused me, George. We just did the podcast for the 15 minutes of us getting sorted for this thing, and usually we save it all for this. So I know,
we had to stop a fight to bring it to this save from the podcast.
I'm like,
same.
Okay, we'll get to the fighting in a minute. But first, let's get something that's got me a little hot under the collar in terms of I'm so exhausted. I'm so exhausted of all of the winning, George. All of the winning.
Talk about spin. That speech by Trump.
State of the
Union. I mean, absolute 100% opposite of what's happening. I mean, I don't even know if you can call that spin. How do you... Blatant lies. Is that spin? I mean, spin
it's
usually
propaganda.
you kind of try to think, how do we work? That is so not obvious, but he's literally saying the opposite of what's happening. It's like an upside down world. What was it called? The
upside down.
Yeah.
The upside down.
Bizarro world.
I think that is bizarro world.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. It's like the, what they said, Steve Bannon, his strategy is flood the zone, right? It's like you've got the fact checkers working so hard to figure out, like, no, that's not, the economy isn't booming right now. No, America isn't on fire and the greatest it's ever been. And no, employment rates aren't, like, and you're so busy saying no, but you're not actually saying what could be happening or what should be happening. There's so much that is just wild that's going on. And we can touch on lots of it, but I'm going to be interviewed in half an hour as soon as we're done this on the U.S. men's hockey team phone call giggle about the president not inviting or having to invite, air quotes, the U.S. women's gold medal hockey team to the State of the Union, to the White House, or he'd be impeached, and how everybody on that team unanimously and immediately giggled as one.
It definitely got so hold me camera, whoever that was.
Yeah.
And who released that information. But was, yeah.
Well, because they didn't think it was wrong. And that's the part. That's the part. Right. And every woman cringed. Every woman who watched, and dads of girls, and all the men who would stand up for women in front of their friends when guys say stupid shit like that. Sorry. But then it just like compounded. I'll put it this way, as I know you're not a huge hockey fan, but you are an Olympic fan. I was really brokenhearted when the Canucks traded our captain, Quinn Hughes. I don't miss him at all now. Like, it's got so much ick. The big, come on down in the State of the Union. And, the guys just all trot out.
Didn't he hate being here, too? Kind of hurt. Person hates being in Vancouver. Come on.
I don't know. Did he?
I heard he did. I heard he wanted out. He wanted to get out of here. He
wanted to go play with his brothers, right?
Yeah.
And he...
interesting, their mom's statement, she came out, his mom, their accomplished woman, and she came out in their defense, so...
Send in the woman to apologize, please.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so frustrating. Anyway, a couple of the players are now stepping forward and actually using the word sorry and no but after it, but like, so better late than never, I guess, but I think the damage has really been done and tarnished. My feeling is I'd rather have a silver medal and a heart of gold than a gold medal and be that guy.
Oh, so, beautiful. Nice. The locker room talk, as is a next level of weirdness quite often, right? So, literally the word locker room talk is a reason for that. The way you talk and certainly being a man, I have three sisters and, grew up in a very feminist kind of household. And, but still you get pulled into the this talk when you're in these locker, literally locker rooms. It's the sign, but you have Cash Patel there, you know, jacked up on whatever he was jacked up on, and excitement, I guess. And then this president calling and saying these crazy things. And I think there was this just moment, but I'm glad they're apologizing, because it's like everything. We'll talk about this later, but things you say that you think, oh, this is no big deal. And then you realize when it's after the fact, like, oh yeah, that was kind of dumb, you know?
And I'll go back to you saying the guy that released the video, it wasn't a released video. It was a live stream.
Oh, was it? Well, there was somebody who yelled when the women about the woman being there was said it was a man, and he said, yeah, all right. He kind of like was yelling in favor of that idea, and then it degraded into the rest of that conversation, right? So there was this bridge between the women, and then Trump went.
There were two or maybe three players who refused to go to the State of the Union and the White House. You know, like,
right?
That's not the big story. No. You know, I'm glad, like, way to go. They use the reason like I have to get back to my team kind of thing. But
yeah.
I mean, I think we'll be talking about family. This for a long time coming. It's so interesting though, George, because I'm commenting on stuff on social media about this as one of the, you know, early days of women in sport. Like, I literally, my job was in the locker room, and I can tell you that there are some quality individuals in the locker room that would stand up for women in the locker room. And the whole idea that, you know, it's just locker room talk. In the 1950s, it was just, you know, a little bit of business to have a scotch in your office and tap your secretary on the ass when she walks by. Things need to change, and this needs to change. So that's the, I'll put
well,
on this, and I hope there's
the
some
actual,
accountability.
Well, the actual presidential, the way they treat women in that meeting, in those meetings, is bad. That's not in the locker room. That's, I mean, the way that this degrading of women by what's happening in America is astoundingly terrible.
It is. So that's why we talk about it here on a podcast, about taking the spin out of things, because it doesn't matter what kind of spin gets put on this. Calm down. I love being told to calm down on social media. Oof. I've triggered much. You don't matter. I'm like, so much so that you're commenting on my, unless they have like 15 followers and I just block them. Okay. Okay, troll. Okay, bot.
Okay, robot from Russia.
What are we doing with World Cup coming to, oh my gosh, like what happened in Mexico? We didn't even talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I just came back from that. I was just there. Right. The what I thought was just one of the safest cities in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. Yeah, under siege, craziness. It's kind of ended now, but it was some sort of statement. There was a weird thing that happened when I was at this hotel that I thought, is that a mafia thing? Like, there's this interaction going on between the musicians and this guy. I'm like,
oh, really?
What, some kind of, it looked to me like some kind of intimidation. And I was telling everybody, I think that guy's like part of the cartel. There's some message. And everybody was just laughing at me, saying, what are you, crazy? And I said, no, this guy is sending, he was literally making the band play and play and play and play. They were ready. They were supposed to be finished. And he kept making them play. This guy just sat there right in front of them and just sat there. And they made them. And then he kept another one. And I don't know if he was giving them money. I couldn't tell. And by the end, the lead singer, this woman, was crying. And I'm going, what? And we're all kind of watching this weirdly. And I said, I think I don't know if I'm right. Maybe people can comment. Is this some kind of cartel messaging to the other cartel? I don't know. But it seemed very strange, and it looked to me like some kind of message to somebody. I don't know what.
I immediately thought of you when this all went down in Puerto Vallarta. Like, it was like,
yeah.
Because we do. We travel around thinking, you know, safety will follow us everywhere we go. And then, you know, seeing tourists in their hotels, you know, at the infinity pool on the top floor, and looking around and there being like columns of smoke where buses are on fire and the bank's on fire and the taxis are on fire. And thankfully, from what I've been able to read, garner from news reports, is that there were no civilian casualties, but certainly there were, you know, upwards of 100 cartel and police casualties. But, you know, when you're seeing people running frenzied at the airport for cover, that was pretty terrifying. I mean,
it's fine. I'm watching Sopranos right now. We're in season 5. I never watched the whole thing all the way through. And then season 5, no, not all the way through. Not like I'm binging. So I know.
I'm jealous.
And so there's season 5. There's this war going on between the two gangs, the two mafia groups. And it's very similar. Like, they go wreck a restaurant. And then they go burn down this, and then they It's like, it's, they're not hurting anybody. They're just wrecking stuff. And that's, it's a message, but.
And seeing the cartel members, I'm not even sure really, frankly, which, I think it must be the ones who lost their leader, because they were the ones saying, we're coming for you. And they were dressed in military garb, right? With the masks on their faces and the goggles on and the helmets and the full flak jackets and the big, like so much, like basically sounds, body armor and artillery.
Sounds familiar.
Isn't it wild that it's becoming normalized in the United States that law enforcement officials of some brand, of some caliber, you know, customs enforcement agents, immigration and custom enforcement, right? That's what ICE stands for.
Yes.
Wearing masks and no identification and carrying weapons and like just coming out of nowhere. Could these cartel members not just run through the United States sort of under the cover of ICE?
It's
mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. ICE. Will ICE be at the World Cup here in Canada, in Vancouver in particular?
I know, they're not. We talked about this a while ago, that there was a motion, I think it was Pete Fry put forward a motion, completely, sorry, I got somebody phoning me here, completely, like, I was like, this, they're not, ICE is not here. And there's no, I'm not a sports guy, but there's no Americans playing at the World Cup, right?
No.
So why would ICE be here? There's no reason. So,
but there is immigration and customs in Vancouver.
Yes.
Well, we talked about that because there's a clearinghouse in Burnaby. Yeah, yeah. But there's a clearinghouse in Burnaby. So if packages come in, they go through there, you know, and that because people are like, there's no border at Burnaby because packages were stopped crossing the border in Burnaby. Right. And that was a thing we've talked about here.
The airport has a border crossing in you go to America. So, but I guess the motion was called out of order. So yesterday. So good.
Because it was performative, you mean?
Yes. I mean, Pete Fry's running for mayor. He wants to get his paid. And it worked. He got a lot of media coverage.
He did.
You know, it's an effective tool, I suppose, to do these waste of time motions. But lots of business at City Hall this past couple of weeks. Lots of things going on.
Let's talk about, we were rather debating this prior to as we were doing our prep, because speaking of lots of media coverage, one ABC councillor, Lenny Zhao, went on WeChat and in Mandarin explained to citizens who speak only likely or primarily Mandarin or are from China. He basically said that a number of counselors and people who are looking for, is it called, it's not called affordable housing. It's called, it's not SRO. It's the supportive housing, right? So it's called support. Yeah. I'm missing the term, but it's basically for, it's like co-ops and people with disabilities and seniors. And it's the everyday you and me citizens who need that affordable place lower cost housing. I wish I knew the right term.
But they keep changing the term, don't they? I mean, how many different names have they had for the word affordable?
But it's not like SROs. This is not like, you know, anyway. So Councillor Zhao, who has since, by the way, apologized for doing this because he got caught for doing it. Somebody on WeChat sent the video into the councillors who were named and basically called drug dealers and drug doers, which was wild to watch that video. I mean, I guess it's rare to see politicians apologize in 2026. So he did, but he apologized because he got caught. And he got caught because somebody in the community that saw it, flagged it and sent it to the, otherwise it would have flown under the radar because mainstream media wouldn't have picked up the WeChat in another language, right?
Yeah, there's two things that's going on here. One is you can't assume that media or silos and that there's the stuff you say in one medium, even if it's in a different language, you might not spread into a different language. Like I think he almost felt immune. He was having a conversation with a community that is generally much more conservative about drugs and crime in the city than the other mediums and other people in the city. They're very pro police, pro crime, you know, pro down crime and all that stuff, and so he's feeding into that.
The word you're looking for is very conservative.
Yeah, they're very. So he's feeding into that narrative, and he went too far.
Way too far.
But the, you know, the other issue, you know, Gene Swanson, and I did an interview with her on CKNW, did actually was. Remember when they were doing all that free drugs and distributing, and she was part of the distribution and was a protest thing, and they were giving out free drugs to, on the downtown east side? And
right, clean and, drug supply was, it wasn't free.
Yeah, the whole, yeah. It was, well, it was free, but it was, but yeah, clean. But yeah, message, clean. Yeah.
Okay, but context is important, George.
No, but it's, so. Yes. But I mean, I think that this is the
this
world.
Is, see, this is this where is we start to get. Bridge.
You know, this is where he's connecting it all. That's how he, in his mind, I think, is connecting these things to the Chinese community, which is not correct. But that's the connection that they make this. They're making, I think he's making his leap.
Rebecca Bly, a drug dealer and drug user, is slanderous. That is not okay in 2026 for any elected official in Vancouver. Like, and sorry's not enough. And I'd like to, and that's what the mayor, the current mayor, election year,
ran away.
Said. He, well, first he was like, congratulations, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, thank you so much, Councillor Zhao, for apologizing. What? Like, that's not... Well,
first he ran for the media. First he ran away. The media questioned me.
He did the statement online. He didn't do it to camera.
No, he was caught on camera, but there was
this... He did this first, and then when media were catching up to him to be like, hey, can we talk to you about this? He's like, sorry, got a meeting, I'll be back.
Yeah, that was bad.
I've never seen him run out of a door so quickly. I mean,
that's never a good look.
No, it was never not a good look. None of it was good. And I think, and for me, because I'm not the policy wonk, I'm not the, you know, aspiring politician, I'm not an influencer when it comes to politics. What, as a Vancouver taxpayer and a voter and an engaged citizen, I'm disgusted that this line has been crossed. And while we're watching line after line after line, we've gone from unprecedented south of the border to inconceivable, like incomprehensible, like, you know, minds exploding at what's become normal there. And we need to stand for what ain't normal here. And that is not normal. That is not normal. And in this day and age, I'd like to have it all go through a translator, and let's monitor what politicians say on every platform and what the message is everywhere. And everybody should be held to account for what they say out loud. And if you want to say something that's controversial or whatever, and I'll say the same about, you know, the people that are doing the clean drug supply down on the downtown east side, to your suggestion, whether or not that is right or wrong, is something that we should all debate. But to absolutely slander your competition, basically, then that's gross. Makes me sick. Anyway,
very rant. Very un-Canadian.
Thank you, George. See, we got around to it, guys. We agree. It's not who we are. And that's all, like, if we can go into the Maple MAGA and how Pierre Poilievre's messaging, he went from being a shoo-in to be prime minister to not even being able to catch up to being 20 points underwater. Like,
and he's still trying to figure out that messaging. And now he's off to London to talk to meet the prime minister. Like, well, to what benefit? I mean, you know, this is the challenge this guy. And now they're ready for an election probably this fall. So if not before, which will definitely, as soon as the Liberals get their majority, then they'll be able to call, you know, then they have control, and, you know, Conservatives have no money. So, and the polling, and you see this, the polling, and we're kind of bouncing around here, but the best polling of a prime minister in the history of polling. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Like, he's plus 30 points and Pierre Poilievre's minus 16. Like, it's the gap.
The NDP are basically invisible.
Yeah. I mean, who, what, where?
They're having a leadership campaign, which is getting interesting, but
that's true. But what I think is fascinating, and this is on US media now as well, because Canada is polling higher than America in America. but we're more united as a country than we have been for decades, according to the polls. Like, it has brushed aside many of the things that were used to wedge us, right? Mm-hmm. Because Canadians are like, we don't have time for that. We've got to be looking at what we're doing against a global foe And you know, with Pierre Poilievre now traveling to the UK, what concerns me as a Canadian is he says publicly here that he's not on the same page as Mark Carney, excuse me, the Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to go represent us internationally. I don't want my tax dollars being spent that way. We voted for this person. And if we had voted in Pierre Poilievre, I would say the same about the Liberal leader, whether it's Mark Carney or someone else. I also wouldn't want the official opposition traveling around if not on the same page, because we need to be on the same bloody page right now.
The only way to justify that is if there's an election coming and it looks like Poilievre is going to be the next prime minister, which a year ago would have been right. The case, a little bit, you know, that would have been the case. You can do those junkets and meet with leaders because right. You need to prep because I'm the next dude. But right now, this guy is definitely underwater and it doesn't appear to any chance for him to win. But, you know, never say never in politics.
We live in BC. We've seen this story play out before. But I do want to talk about how it feels to me, and this wasn't on our pre-show chat, but I want your opinion on this, because in watching other countries sort of catch up to what we've been living in Canada with Donald Trump in the White House and sort of his attacks on us, 51st state, government, whatever, our governor, mm-hmm. you know, trying to dismantle the auto industry and the steel and softwood lumber and blah, 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 all of it. Because we've had a year of that. Other countries are waking up to that now. And it kind of feels like, you know, when you go into a marathon and a couple of runners get to go out early, like I kind of feel like Mark Carney got out early and has been sort of laying the groundwork on some of these things. Because what was flying under the radar this week was a deal that the prime minister, a defense deal that he made with South Korea. Like we're making deals with countries like Norway and Germany and the UK and France to defend Canada. Like,
it's interesting, the process, though. You think even back to Justin Trudeau, we were immediately we moved into like, screw you. Like we went right there for the jugular out of the gate after there was a failed attempt by Trudeau to, you know, meet with him. And then so even before the election, things had, we were like, let's
we
go
were
Canada.
Out.
And then, you know,
well, that's why Carney went.
Yeah, he picked up on that and he rode that through the election. And that's where Poilievre missed the boat on understanding that feeling of the country. Right. So I don't understand how maybe because he attacked us first and was very specific, and because we're next door neighbors, because you think about the way all the Europe and all these countries are giving him gold and you know, making these deals with him. You're like, you can't make a deal with this guy. There's no deal. And as it turns out, there is no deal. And now it's all this. You know, he's still claiming tariffs that last 150 days. Everybody's just kind of going, whatever now. It's literally rolling their eyes around the world going, anyways, moving on. Let's just get on with our economies and do our own thing. And just like, you go ahead and do your blabbity blahs in America. How brutal is that? How disrespectful that is. But it's the result of madness. I mean, I the policies and this back and forth and making stuff up and it's just in the erraticness. It's like crazy. But we maybe realized that right away. I don't know. Yeah.
It feels like, well, it rocked us because we had become overly dependent on the trade relationship and the partnership. We thought, you know, brothers in arms or whatever, linked economies, linked whatever. There was so much trust. There was so much currency, that North American bond, which Mark Carney pointed out in Davos, is now broken. Like, and I don't know when that trust really ever comes back. What I find so interesting, and you nailed it, because these, you know, the deals that are being made by Mark Carney, because there is no deal to be made for anybody with the U.S. president. Any deal that is made lasts as long as the whim in his brain lasts. I mean, it's like, okay, well, not today. That's over. Nothing gets written down. Nothing is... Even if it's written down, it doesn't work.
Well, we have some that are hitting us hard, the steel ones, the ones on the lumber that he can do, but he still shouldn't be doing, because he should still be getting Congress's approval. And I don't know what the deal is there, but you watch that State of the Union and you're like, the sycophantic behavior, like, oh, gross.
God.
I definitely would not have shown up Republican or Democrat. To sit through that would be a nightmare.
Right, the longest
10,000 words to the average. I think the original State of the Union was 150 words. So it's, you know, over the last 100 years, it's gone up by tenfold. I don't know. So I mean, it's
with the what you said about the fact that there is no deal to be made, and every other country is really learning that now. Do you find it bizarre? Do you find it as bizarre as I find it? I find it just wild that a conservative politician in Andrew Scheer would make a point this week of standing up and going on camera outside the parliament saying, I thought Mark Carney was going to make a deal. Like, where's the deal? It's like, that is some of the worst read the room spin. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah. And he was a former leader.
Right?
I mean, the other leader that they had, they've had so many leaders before, he's doing the opposite. He's kind of supporting
Aaron O'Toole.
Aaron O'Toole is being somewhat moderate.
He's very moderate. Stephen Harper is on side with Mark Carney. Aaron O'Toole's on side with Mark Carney. Like, it's Pierre Poilievre and Andrew Scheer. Yeah, that just, are they only talking to that tiny vocal minority of separatists? Like, what?
Yeah, well, it's like Trump. When you look at, if you're only, maybe actually, this is a New York Times op-ed, if you only live in your silo, I've talked about silos earlier, and of Truth Social, and you only post on there, and you only look at that, and you're surrounded by yes men or yes women, then your perception of reality is like movie stars who think they can be, you know, celebrities, you know, the Mariah Careys or whatever, who think they could be, that they nothing, or like all this, you know, all the crazy stuff with regards to Epstein, all this madness. It's like you think you're untouchable. You think that you're living in some other different world. It's so bizarre. You get so used to being treated differently that you actually think that your perception of reality is real. And it's, that is the president of the United States who maybe actually thinks those things he said were accurate, because he's so taken in by his own media that he owns and the people around him saying yes, 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 yes. You don't even understand what's real anymore. So it's crazy.
It is a bit nuts. There's so many things that we didn't even get to here, and we've only got a couple of minutes left. Have you been
lots of planning? Watch City Hall in Vancouver. 130 projects in the pipeline for 2026, double last year. They're ramming stuff through at City Hall in Vancouver, and I imagine that's the case.
But sidewalks, George.
But they've tripled the sidewalk budget, which I've been asking for since I was on council. But guess what? Yeah, and I know you have that puddle outside your house. It'll only take 100 years to catch up.
500 years to catch up? Are you like 500?
500 years. That's how far behind they are fixing our sidewalks and our potholes.
Our city's not even that old. Jeez Louise. Unbelievable. Well,
there should be an app where you can see where your puddle is on that app. Well, yours will be ready in 394 years. Your puddle will be fixed.
Oh my God. Have you, speaking of apps, have you discovered Anthropic's Claude?
Yes, I use Claude all the time. Claude. Yes. In fact, earlier I was going to mention this. You said about multiple languages and stuff. You could just use Claude and it'll translate everything for you. Just ask the agent to go out and listen to the radio stations. And then if they're in a different language, to come back with a translation for you. So,
isn't it wild? Is that what translates our podcast? Claude. But the thing that I'm really keeping an eye on as a global community member in the U.S. is the Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, pressuring Anthropic, the AI company that created Claude, to loosen up the safeguards on their AI.
We're doing the opposite in Canada. We're meeting them to tighten them up.
Yeah. Right? To what end? Like, are we going to see robots around polling stations in November? Is that what they're in a rush about? Like what?
Well, you've seen those robots in China. They're crazy, right? They did for the New Year's celebrations.
Yeah.
They are as close to human as you can pretty much get as far as abilities.
Yeah. We are so far behind in that regard. It's wild. There was one more thing that you had mentioned in our lead up.
The official development plan.
Let's just hit that, just because it's happening like
March 10th. Yeah, March 10th at City Hall, they'll be having a public hearing about the official development plan based on the Vancouver plan. It's one of the most massive decisions that they will be making in Vancouver, certainly in the last 30 years, 40 years. I mean, it's massive to codify it, basically, the Vancouver plan. Right now, Vancouver plan is much like a vision statement. Like, this is what we want the city to look like. And here's the, and now they're going to basically embed it.
Lock it in.
The policy through the official development plan. So if you have any interest in Vancouver and you live in Vancouver, it's still not available. I don't think, at least it wasn't last night, the actual document, which should be massive. This public hearing is in 2 weeks, and you're supposed to read this document and then go and speak to it. So we'll see. We'll be talking about it and that process. But and then plus the 100 plus other development plans. Anybody who has any concerns about development in the city should be paying attention. And I would say this is the case for most communities. It's an election year, and so quite often they ran a lot of stuff through in the spring, because they don't come back after the summer, when summer hits. Right. So they want to get everything through they can, and then have the re-election and hopefully that's ancient history by October.
Are there any red flags in the Vancouver plan for you?
No, well, it's funny because what will be interesting is the connection and not being able to see it, the connection between the provincial government's regulations and how they fit into our development plan. It's a requirement that our development plan connect to the provincial government's regulations. So I imagine that's partly why they're doing it. But to only give us 10 days, 15 days to look at it, is not really that fair. So we'll certainly be hearing more about it. But I would imagine it's mostly related to the relationship between the province's regulations and how we will. And that's a significant departure in the public hearing process, in that you can just ram stuff through based on location and access to transit.
It's like, oh, that was a approved seven-story building. Well, now it can be a 21-story building.
Yeah, pretty much.
So people need to pay attention. And there are a lot of people that are very up in arms about the smallest of developments that are caught up in that minutia and not really paying attention to the other things. So they're just getting set, rammed through. And it's on all of us to pay better attention. And it benefits those with skin in the game if we're so overwhelmed by it that we tune it out. So we have to tune it in, which is why you tune into Unspun Podcast, because you get to listen to George. You can follow him at George_Affleck on Twitter, George Affleck everywhere else. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, Unspun Podcast. Share it with your friends. Unspun is also on YouTube if you want to watch our fabulous faces and all of my hand motions. The whole thing, but we're here every Thursday for you, and glad to do it. Like and subscribe, tell your friends and all that.
Bye bye.